Did I tell you what I did in the way in the car this morning?
No.
So I actually listened to your episode that we did.
Yep.
Like, I don't know, 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
No, I think it was two. Because I revisited that prior to this.
Did you skim through as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, I have to admit, it was kind of like, right, what absolute nonsense was I talking about?
So I was really surprised because it was like hardcore like time travel for me. Like it literally took me back to that. Like it was my first ever interview in this room.
That was cool, actually.
Isn't that bonkers?
Nice. Yep. And here we are again.
And here we are again. And like there was no soundproofing in the room like we were just in. And I actually like... I always cringe about from previous episodes about like the way I handled certain things, but more so I was like, oh my goodness, the sound quality from your microphone, Matthew, was terrible. Like you clearly didn't know what you were doing at that stage. And now I'm like, okay, today I have to make sure that my sound quality is pretty
okay.
But yeah, pretty crazy cool. That we're back here again. Very exciting. Are. And it was literally like so weird hearing you talk about your dreams for opening a shop.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's such a full circle nature to this story. Oh, it's wild. So a question that I've started the show with since, maybe the last, I don't know, 150, is...
just a casual
little legacy drop there, yeah. What's your first memory? Like, what's the first thing that you can remember?
Yeah, we were listening to a few of the podcasts to try and get an idea of what was going to come
And the plot twist for the people listening who can't look through microphones because they're not cameras, we're also joined with a mystery guest today.
Ooh.
Well, that was a very, very interesting ooh.
Ominous. We're joined with Matthew, your partner.
Yes.
And really looking forward to getting to know you a bit, Matt. Like, I've seen you in the shop, obviously, and had a wee bit of chat, but there's something nice about sitting down over a cup of decaffeinated tea to have a wee chat.
It's late in the day.
You gotta protect yourself.
We've all drank too much coffee.
So, Matthew, first memory, what's the first thing you can remember?
So yeah, we had been listening to the podcasts a few of the last 150.
We've been cheating.
And
sorry.
I was thinking about what my answer would be to this. And I don't know whether this is truly a memory or not.
Mm.
Or it's a memory of a photograph of when I was very young, but I would have been about, I don't know, maybe 2 years old in a high chair. And growing up, I always had dogs around the house.
Yeah.
My parents had a big old English sheepdog, like a huge old English sheepdog, like compared to 2 year old me.
Yeah.
Like a horse.
Yeah. Mesmer Clifford the big red dog, like humongous.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like to think of it that it is actually a memory, but like I didn't have any shoes or socks on, as you do. And this big old English sheepdog Ryan came over and like started licking my toes. And I'm happy to accept that that is my earliest memory.
You know what? We'll take it. But you're not dog owners now.
No, this is
contentious.
This could be a whole other podcast.
Oh, really? Have I opened up like a couple's relationship like therapy session?
You said this was a therapy session, right? Great. No, we don't have a dog yet. I think I'd like to have a dog someday. Obviously, we're a wee bit busy at the moment.
You got enough on your plate.
We do have, we know what dog we want, and we've already got a name for the dog.
Wow.
So, future dog, yeah.
Something that both of you, a trait that both of you share is you're both preppers. Like, I remember last time you came in with, like, reams and reams of notes.
I don't think I actually brought them in, but I told you that I had me a note.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So what is the first thing you remember?
For me, memory... See, funny story. We were talking about this the other day. Do you ever get that thing where if you close your eyes, you can visualise something?
No!
Do you not get that?
Right.
So... Not to interrupt
it. Every brain is different.
Like, keep thinking about your earliest memory. So, during lockdown,
right? You discovered you're 31 years old.
31 years old, and through something I saw online, I was like, "Hold on a second." When people say they visualize something in their mind, they're not talking figurative,
Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
They're literally saying this, and I'm like, I'm just sitting there. I was on the bed at home, like on my phone, and Rachel came into the room and I was like, Rachel. Well, no. I think I said like, I looked up. So it's called aphantasia or aphantasia. Okay. It apparently affects, is that the right, if that is the right word, like 1 in 100 people.
Wow.
So 1% of the population. And, you know, you Google image some tests for it. And I was like, so the test is you close your eyes.
Okay.
And you imagine a red triangle.
Yeah.
And then if you, you know, at home, get your phone out and you Google image like aphantasia test or like red triangle. And there's a grading of sort of 8 different images of red triangles.
Okay.
Going from what you two will probably be sitting around, yeah, you're actually seeing like, it looks like some people can just see the triangle. Some people see it red.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Some people can then like go in and really like fill in the details about it, like how sharp the edges are. I close my eyes and think of the red triangle. I get a text audio description.
Are you serious?
Of the red triangle.
Wow.
Can we just derail? Let's not talk about coffee. Let's just talk about this for a
minute. Yeah, right.
So like whenever you are remembering the moment of this big dog licking your toes, are you like, it just comes to you in like paragraph form?
Yeah, it's like the internal monologue.
Right. Bro.
Right. I didn't get this because I came in and I think it was a friend of ours that shared something. I remember coming in. It's like, there's this thing where people can't, you know, like imagine these things. And you were sitting in the bed and you were like, I've just realized that I can't. And I'm just like, hold on, what?
I'm one of them.
But 31 years it took me to figure this out.
Wow.
But then the other thing, so I think for me, like that, talking about memory, obviously, probably a lot of people listening to this can relate to that. Like you close your eyes, you picture things, you know, it can be quite vivid. But the other thing then you realized was we're talking about music and sound. And okay, so take your favorite song, for example. Like if you would play that song in your head, do you hear like the artist's voice, the tone, the change of tone, maybe some background instruments going on, or do you just hear yourself singing it?
I think I only hear myself singing.
Oh, okay. See, I can hear it.
Yeah, I think so. I'd need, I mean, I just did like a 5-second test there.
Yeah. What was your...
Higher Power by Coldplay.
Oh.
And it was me going,
okay.
You've got...
Yeah, so when
see,
I...
See, now I'm visualizing like them on like the pyramid stage at Glastonbury and there's fireworks.
Red triangles, and Chris Martin. Like, yeah. Do you know what's crazy? I just like was listening the other day to like, do you remember the Kanye West song Homecoming? So big song of like my teens, like really, really loved it. But Coldplay are my all-time favorite mm-hmm. band. And I just realized literally 2 weeks ago that the person that sings the hook in Homecoming is Chris Martin, the lead singer of Coldplay. And never once in my life did I make there that distinction. And it literally, I was driving home and I was like, did Chris Martin do a cover of this song? It came on Spotify and then I literally like checked it. And
hold
I was like,
on a
wait,
second.
What the heck? But there's people who can like think in... color, like instead of thoughts,
yeah, yeah,
you know, you hear about all that,
or taste in color,
they taste in color,
yeah, there's a name for that as well. But I think, like, so just the memory thing as well, like for me, I think a lot of it comes down to like a sensory side too. I feel like this has gone turned into a whole podcast in itself, got nothing to do with well, no,
well, sensory
coffee.
Yeah,
we
well, like,
we could keep
let me
this
ask
flowing.
You this, Matthew, like, how well do you taste? Like, you know, if you go to like a cupping or something, like, how's your sense of taste?
I'd say it's pretty good.
Really?
Pretty good, actually.
Debunks my theory.
Not as good as Rachel. Like, trained sensory judge over here.
Dun, dun, dun.
But that's a high bar.
Yeah, I think, like, memory and a sensory side of thing always kind of comes into my head. Like, for me, certain tastes or certain scents will bring back, like, really, really vivid memories. Like, I remember being really, really young. I always talk about, like, and like, you'll get it in things now, again, like... There's like this sweet, like almost like cherry taste, which reminds me of lollipops that I got on this little corner shop in Tenerife when I was about 5 with my mum and dad. That's one of my first holidays away. And for some reason, I'm now visualizing the photo in my head. There's a picture of me and my dad with some cactuses in the background.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It always kind of ties into that. And I think, or you could be out somewhere and a certain scent will bring back something and you're like, oh, I visualize this thing. It reminds me of that. But I think even like back in school, like walking in, you know, like, nursery and you know like the smell of like you know the paint trays and you know the room we used to go and hang up your coats and things like that all brings back this you know this idea of whenever you were young again.
So
so I think a lot of my memory is probably tied in with a sensory side of things too.
Yeah, well they say like I remember talking to Michael from Beard Candlemakers
yeah
and he just went off about you know, the role that smell plays, specifically smell and memory.
Yeah.
And there is something special about walking into, you know, your local spot like Napoleon and the smell just hits you. Like it takes you back to something. Like I remember, you know, after finally the restrictions had loosened and we were allowed back into the world and coming back to Hormo Baths, and, you know, the first time walking in Napoleon, and it's just, it's that sensory experience. It's the sound of the grinder. It's the smell of the food. And immediately you're just like, oh, thank goodness we're back.
Coffee.
Yeah, 100%. Yep. It's your home away from home. That's something you said in the
oh, really?
The podcast. Okay. You said that coffee shops were the third space between
home and
work. It's funny because we practically live in the cafe now.
Did you not know there's like a secret bed underneath that pulls out?
I believe it. Like we were joking with Aiden, like a wee power nap in one of the cupboards. You'd be absolutely flying.
It's
doable,
right?
So a question that I actually don't know the answer to, and I'd like to only ask questions that I don't know the answers to, because otherwise it's like a recital for me. How did you two meet? Give us that chat. Give us that story.
Okay, so we go way back.
Way back.
As in like school.
Whoa.
Way back. So I think it was probably like lower sixth we kind of got to know each other. I think we were all part of like the same sort of group of friends. And then we just kind of got... Do you know what this was back in the day? Do you remember MSN Messenger?
Oh, 100%. Nudge away.
Right.
Send the winks.
Yeah. But do you remember you used to have like an MSN Messenger where like you could play and it came up what music you were listening to?
Yes.
And if you were listening to a really bad playlist and a really embarrassing song came on, you were like, oh my goodness, that all my like
they all know I'm listening to Bass Hunter.
But I remember like we would have spoken a lot after school as well via that, because that was the way to chat back in the day. And then we kind of got to know each other. I think the first time we ever spoke properly was... I think it was an RE class in lower sixth, and we're both massive music fans. We go to a lot of gigs, and you and Daniel had went to see Razorlight in the Waterfront, and I went with someone to see Razorlight.
Wait a second, like appreciation for Razorlight? Come on,
I know.
Class.
Where did it all go wrong with them?
I have a playlist called like first year tunes, or it's either first year tunes or it's in like car tunes, and like all of Razorlight's big hits are on it. And every time I'm just belting it out, like it's so beautiful. Wow.
But yeah, I think it was, I went with a friend and you'd went with a friend, then we were in the RE class the next day, and do you know if you're like not really supposed to be talking during class, but there was me and then my friend Emma beside me, and then there was Daniel you were with, and then you were on the other side. I just remember you kept mouthing something over and I was going to Emma, what is he trying to say? And you were like, did you enjoy the concert last night? And I'm like, oh yeah. And then, yeah, that was probably one of our first ever interactions about music. And
yeah.
As big music fans, well, yeah, there's been many gigs.
It's been we went quite together a few since,
haven't we?
Unreal.
So yeah, it all kind of unfolded from school, really, and then like both of us went to uni here. Neither of us moved away. We both went to Queen's, and yeah, so it's been how many years now?
Yep,
so not many. Good answer. Yeah.
So we that old?
So at what point, you know, do you become romantically involved?
We kind of were going out during school.
Unbelievable.
Kind of. And then, like, do you know what everyone, like, I remember everyone was going out with everybody during school, last year of school. And then, like, we kind of, you know, everyone goes to uni and people move on and do things. And then we weren't. And then we got back together again. Sure. And it was just, we were just really good friends. I think we were friends first. Like, we were really, really close friends first. And then it all just kind of unfolded from there.
I mean, I think one of my favorite facts about both you guys is, like, your flipping degree in psychology and Home Dog's secret weapon here, a PhD in physics? Like, what the heck?
Do all baristas not have that?
I mean, it kind of feels like a higher percentage of baristas have PhDs now. I mean, it's like, it's a rite of passage. I'm like, one of my little obsessions is I love like bicycle messengers and bicycle couriers. I used to work for Deliveroo and it just got me into that world. And it's interesting, like there's a little bit, this is a stretch, but there's a little bit of a reflection of like, bicycle messengering back in the day and baristas today, because it's like a little bit of a counterculture. Mm. It's like ditch the corporate office. Let's get back on the ground. Let's roll the sleeves up. And a lot of those guys and gals had like, you know, degrees and everything.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's a real lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle. Mm. Please tell me like the title of your PhD or what your PhD focused on.
Oh, can I remember the actual title?
Oh, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that.
The fabrication
go ahead.
Something.
Characterization.
Fabrication and characterization of palladium nanowires, tubes, and something.
Rachel, that's
don't ask me what it was.
Mega brownie points.
That's
there.
Incredible. Wow. Incredible.
And did you see that in your... No, I'm joking.
I was literally thinking of the side of your, like, PhD thesis.
I saw you were holding it in your mind's eye, and I was like, wow, I bet you Matt's never done that.
Oh, too good.
You do this PhD in physics. Where does, like, coffee come into your timeline?
Actually, right slap bang in the middle of it, funnily enough. Specialty coffee, I mean. So... as part of the PhD, there is some funding to do other, you know, self-development activities. And one of them was go and spend 7 weeks in Dublin doing, like, week-long courses on building a startup. And with the kind of slant of, you know, commercializing your PhD research, which I was super interested in, but also... expenses paid, 7 weeks of trips down to Dublin, sounds good. And I don't even know what year it was, but one of the guys in the course took me at lunchtime to Roasted Brown down there. And like this little hidden spot upstairs in like the Irish Film Institute, you wouldn't even know it was there from the roadside. And it was the strangest coffee menu I had encountered up to this point. It's like... none of these are drinks. These are like, these are countries. How do I
remember
I,
that feeling? How
do, like, yeah. what did I do here? So we did what two physicists doing PhDs would do. We ordered one of each the experimentation. And I just remember sitting in there like with these two filter coffees, and we at that point like my palate wasn't good enough to be picking out like tasting notes.
Sure,
but. You could definitely try both of them side by side and go, yeah, like these are clearly very, very different. Mm-hmm. And from that point, it was like specialty coffee is a thing that I'm interested in.
Unbelievable. And again, now full circle for yourself. Now you are helping out in the pool.
Yeah, I got a Saturday job.
Yeah, because you need more.
That's it.
You need more side hustles, don't you? It's not enough. Question that has been on my mind and on the mind of people that have said that we're doing this interview today. Why Napoleon?
Good question.
What's the origin story of that, Rich?
So for us, it kind of came out like our inspiration was always spent traveling. And I think, I don't know if I brought that up in the last podcast, but every time we were away, we always kept getting ideas and inspiration. And we kept, I can't remember how it actually quite came about, but we ended up using it as like a placeholder name.
Really?
For this imaginary cafe that we're going to open someday. It's called
the code word.
Yeah, like a code of Napoleon. And then...
and this is long before you knew that you were taking over this space.
Oh, this has been going on for about 6 or 7
that
years.
That is unbelievable.
So it was just this kind of buzzword that was there as this placeholder
code
name.
Code name Napoleon.
Napoleon. And we're like, oh yeah, that would work well, Napoleon. That would work well, Napoleon. I know many years of going around, getting ideas, making notes on your phone, Pinterest boards, screenshots, everything you do, you know, you're like, oh, this will work well in Napoleon, this will work well in Napoleon. And then I think it got to the point where it was like 2019, we were away in Amsterdam. Amsterdam is a great coffee scene in the right context. just to clarify that for the podcast, you be really careful when you address that.
Best of Belfast is not endorsed the use of illegal drugs or legal drugs in any different countries.
So yeah, specialty coffee is...
that's one word.
There's some,
for it.
There's some really, really good coffee roasters out there. So that was a really, really good experience. But we would spend a day sort of exploring the city. We'd hired bikes. We're going around drinking all these amazing coffees, going to visit like all these amazing coffee roasters. And I remember we were sitting in this little cocktail bar after just having this really, really fun day traveling. And we sat down and we're probably a few cocktails in, to be honest. Let's be real here. And we're like, right, next year... we've been talking about this for too long. This cafe concept, we need to do it. And I think we did have a note on our phone with like, we started to come up with ideas and names. I think we put Napoleon in there as the placeholder name.
Yeah, yeah.
But even like we'd asked friends and stuff as well. And anything that kind of sounded like it would vaguely work. Yeah, sure. Throw it in there. But that night we sat in that cocktail bar for ages coming up with all these different names. Pretty sure I still have it on my phone. Probably be embarrassing to go through it and look up what some of them were now. But we were just like, what are we actually going to call it? Like, if we're seriously going to do this, what are we going to call it? And all these other names came up and we were like, these don't really have any meaning or context or too cliched. And we were like, here, do you know what? Napoleon has kind of taken on this new meaning now. Like, this is the name that we've referred to about this little dream for a long, long time. This is where all the ideas and inspirations came from. And we were like, does it work? Does it work in a sentence? Like, what can you do? And then how do we bring the ideas and inspirations from traveling back home? And then we thought about it. We were like, oh, like a real like focal point in Belfast is Napoleon's nose. And there's this, you know, part that kind of overlooks the city that people love to go to. You know, it's a shared space for people. And we were like, yeah, I think it kind of works.
Wow.
So we ended up kind of coming up with a couple of ideas for branding and bits and pieces. And it all kind of unraveled from there.
So, so good. My like guess was like, because it's small but mighty.
You can run with that.
Like, catch us up for the people who aren't aware of the story of like, why, like, where your cafe is and why it's this crazy, like, you couldn't write it, like, this crazy, like, hero's journey circular thing that has happened.
Yeah.
Of how you are here now with your dream. I remember actually talking to you one time and your big dream at one point was like, yeah, I'm going to have a horse box. Like, and anything, you were like,
I was anything, anything to have your own cafe. Yeah, yeah. Like, when we were talking about this back in 2019, like, we had genuinely started looking at places, and like I had started contacting estate agents, as you do. Like, we hadn't even got a finished business plan. We didn't have funding, but we were like, I mean, you got to put the fillers out and start somewhere, right? 100%. I remember like anything you sort of came up that sort of fell within the square footage, kind of came into the right sort of, you know, rent rates, whatever that could work for a coffee shop. We kind of inquired about it, and nothing really was, either it all fell through or nothing was really working out. With where we're at now, so yeah, where we're at is here in the heart of Wormwood Balance, where we are today. And yeah, it really has sort of came full circle. So previously it was Root and Branch were there for about 2.5-3 years. I had originally taken on the manager role there when they first opened and was there for just short of probably about 2 years. So we've kind of taken over somewhere we were really quite familiar with and in a place that we really loved. And yeah, it's been a bit of a mad journey looking back now, because we never would have imagined that we would be here now, had we?
No, the other bit we need to add is, like, in terms of the timeline, when we took it on.
Dude, the timing is crazy.
Right. Yeah, so this kind of came up slap bang in the middle of the pandemic.
Yeah.
We'd done our business plan towards the end of 2019, and 2020 was going to be the year, because, you know, we've made all these plans, we've kind of came up with a name, years of ideas and inspiration, and we were like, yeah, 2020 is going to be the year, we're going to do it this year. And then, you know, 2020 started, all well and good. We got to February, 2020 is looking a bit dodgy here, isn't it? Then we got to March and we were like, yeah, the world's kind of gone to shit here, hasn't it? So for us, like, where we had been looking was, funnily, in Linen Quarter. We love this side. Yeah, we really, really love this side of town. It's such a vibrant part of the city and somewhere that I think is just really, really lovely to be part of. It's a really, like, bright, up-and-coming part of the city. You know, there's loads of new businesses coming in. There's loads of new independent retailers, restaurants, cafes, bars. It's just a really fun place to be in Belfast. And the concept we always had was, you know, we didn't want anything big and complicated. We were like, we just want something, do it well, keep it simple, small square footage. And with Linen Quarter, we were kind of like, you know, it's a business district area. We'll try and put in good coffee. We'll do like grab and go food, which we are looking to hopefully expand into at some point. But we always had planned on it being here. So there was nothing really came up for quite a while. And then when this came up, it kind of like, we'd sort of, obviously Simon's Root and Branch wanted to focus on just the roastery. So the cafes sort of got handed over. And with us, I remember we chatted to Simon about it. And then what was it, like a week and a half later?
Yeah.
We came down and signed a lease. Oh! So this was going from like back in March, we were like, this idea is written off. Which in a way was really frustrating and a little bit heartbreaking. So we were like, yeah, this is going to be the year we're going to do it. And, you know, business district in a pandemic when everyone's told to work from home.
beside a co-working space.
Kind of really isn't a viable business model anymore. So we were like, right, this is kind of off the cards for maybe 2 years, maybe. Yeah. You know, how long? We've none of us have experienced this in our 100%. Lifetime. Like, how
we
long is it going to take?
That's the crazy part. But anyway.
Yeah. How long will it take to get out of a global pandemic? But this opportunity presented itself, you know, that I think lockdown was a really strange time for everybody. And when it came up, we were sort of like, okay, well, this is a bit of a mad idea. But we've loved that spot. We've loved Ormo Baths. You know, we live nearby. Like, this is the side of Belfast we want to be part of. And when it came up, yeah, it was a week and a half later, we came down and signed a lease. And I remember that day so vividly because we had pretty much, you've been working from home like since March. So we got the keys, I think it was the 10th of July last year. So we were a good few months into the pandemic. You were working from home. Obviously, my work had sort of all been put on hold. I fell into the shielding category, so was told not to physically go outside the house, which was great fun. So I remember that day getting ready, and I think I got dressed up because this was quite eventful to go outside. and also quite eventful because it was quite a life-changing moment.
Did you bring your briefcase and all? Like, did you go full business mode?
No, but I think I wore a nice dress.
Nice.
But no, I remember that day getting ready. I just really looked at myself in the mirror and going, what the hell are we about to do? Like, are we actually mental? And we came down and that was that pretty much. But yeah, it all kind of came full circle from a place that I'd managed before to now a place that we're kind of trying to turn into our own.
I mean, I just from a storytelling structure perspective, I just can't believe it. Like, it's
I don't
crazy.
Think we can either.
But like, you say you're mental. Like, you were absolutely mental.
Yeah.
Like, in a time when everyone was closing their doors permanently, you know, like, why did you guys take the punt?
I think the opportunity was there and it was a massive risk. Yes. Like, for us, you know, this is pretty much us putting our life savings on the line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not as if we could be like, oh yeah, we'll take this on. And sure, if it doesn't work out, we'll start something else. We were like, no, like, this is it. Like, we've been saving. Shot. Yeah, literally, you've got one shot at this.
Yeah.
So, like, we've been saving for a really long time. If it doesn't work, like, the onus is on us. So I think, you know, the determination was there to make it succeed.
Yeah.
But I think having sort of managed cafes for like the last maybe, what, 6-7 years or so now, you know, you think, well, we thought when we'd done our business plan, you know, oh yeah, we've got this all sussed. We know what to do. We've done our cash flow. You know, month one, we'll do this, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, so many months in, we'll start to plan this part of the business. Yeah, get that business plan, scrumble it up and throw it in the bin. You're about to open a cafe in a pandemic. You don't have a plan.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone knew what to expect. So I think that kind of made it exciting, also slightly terrifying.
Yeah, sure.
I think we were ready for a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
There was something really lovely as well about the familiarity of it. So coming back to somewhere that we kind of already knew, coming back to a place that we loved, and having so many familiar faces now coming back in, just instantly kind of brought you that comfort. And it's so lovely to be part of Ormo Baths. Like, shout out to Claire Dowds,
who is
a legend. Claire's support and help at the start, I think, honestly got us through what was quite a challenging and scary time. But yeah, Claire's an absolute superstar and all-around legend. So she sort of puts you at ease in those sort of situations where, you know, you're sort
of... no point in the first time we met Claire to talk about how we were about to take on a cafe in the middle of a pandemic. At no point did Claire say, guys... Are you sure? Have you really thought of it?
Yeah.
No, she's just like, this is amazing. Welcome back. Yay, I'm so happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, that just, you're into it. And, you know, before you know it, it's like, well, let's not think about maybe necessarily the risk or anything or all the millions of things that could go wrong.
Yeah.
And let's just focus on, we've now got the keys.
Yeah.
We now need to get the doors open as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do we have to do to get to there?
Mm-hmm.
Now that we've got the doors open, like, how do we get enough money, you know, to get to month two, to month three, to month four? Mm-hmm. And, like, one of the kind of the scarier moments for me was like right at the start. We were buying cups, takeaway compostable packaging, and you got to buy this stuff in bulk.
Yeah.
And a lot of this stuff was going onto my credit card, and we were putting in an order for goodness knows how many thousand. I was like, what? Like, if this, I don't know how to liquidate thousands of coffee cups.
Yeah, man.
But this is on my credit card and we're into this now. So all you can do is look forward. Like, you can't really look 100%.
Back. 100%. Yeah, you're like sailing into the storm and you're just like steady and your hand on the wheel. You're like, let's go, baby.
Nothing can quite prepare you for that. Like, you know, when we opened the doors, we were like, everyone was told work from home.
Yeah.
Which you yourself were doing as well. So we weren't even knowing if there was anyone could even be walking about the street, to be totally honest, at the start. Mm-hmm. I think like the key for us going into it was just keep it simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's been since as well.
Yeah. I mean, like obviously we still have plans and things we want to do now. And, you know, we do talk about them quite a lot when customers come in, you know, with plans for what we're going to do with inside. You've seen the space. We're tiny. Mm-hmm. I always use this phrase of, you know, yeah, you're laughing because you know what I'm about to say. We always use the phrase of the cafe is very cozy.
Yeah.
And cozy is lovely, but cozy is not what you want during a global pandemic, right?
Mm.
So for us, like, we wanted to create a space where people could come and enjoy a cup of coffee, relax, feel at ease, feel safe, more importantly.
Yeah.
Like, we were in the height of the pandemic at the time. Do you know, the world was a scary place.
People were still excited about dressing up to leave the house.
100%, right? you don't come out in your pajamas and, like, sweat bottoms anymore, yeah. But, yeah, it was just keep it simple and create a space that people could come enjoy. People could come for a chat.
Mm-hmm.
I think really importantly, like, I think the work from home, the stay at home, you know, for a lot of people, maybe if you were living alone, like, that really, really could take its toll on your headspace. So I think for us, it was kind of, you know, Just be kind to people as well. You know, it's been a really tough year for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone's had their own battles this year. And, you know, someone walks in, you don't know how their day's gone. But if they want to come in, have a chat, maybe we'll turn it into a therapy session as well. Sometimes that has happened.
Sure.
But just provide a space where, you know, I think there's been a couple of times since we've been opened and, like, right throughout the pandemic where I've been like, you know, it's not just about coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It is. We're a coffee shop. We need to sell cups of coffee. That is our business. Yes. But it's people. Like, people are so important, whether it's your team, your customers. You know, there was one particular moment I remember. A guy came in, never met him before. He came in and was like, oh, yeah, I just thought I'd come down and get a celebratory coffee. And I was like, cool, what are we celebrating? This was in the day whenever I, you know, had the old person, you know, passing by. I was like, this is great, what are we celebrating? This is really exciting. And he was like, yeah, you know, I live at home on my own and just found out I got a new job. And, you know, pubs are closed, so can't go for a celebratory pint. Thought I'd come down and get a celebratory coffee and tell you. So maybe I just had this really lovely chat. And, like, I just remember the takeaway from that was, yeah, it's not just about coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, I think it's just being able to create a space that people can enjoy, more importantly as well.
But, and your wee outdoor area is gorgeous.
Thank you.
And that was a game changer as well in those early days.
Yeah.
Even as a customer.
We've been very, very fortunate to have the outdoor space because obviously, yeah, the hospitality industry has been hit very, very hard. Probably one of the hardest hit industries in terms of being able to get open and staff retention and staying afloat. It's been a really hard time for everyone, and I think we've been very fortunate to have the outdoor space, which at times we weren't able to use anyway because it was just takeaway. And sure, that proved its own challenges, where we're so far back from the pavement that yes, we have our little sandwich board at the front, but it's easy to miss us if the outdoor furniture's not there.
If you know, you know. If you don't,
hidden gem.
A mystery waiting to be discovered.
Yeah, that's it, right?
Yeah.
But the outdoor space has been a total godsend for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just tried to have fun with it, you know. We bought a lot of plants. A lot of plants, to the point where our accountant thought it was hilarious at one point when we were doing our our receipts at the start, and he was just like, okay, so are you opening a plant shop or a coffee shop?
So. I watched something recently. It was Ewan McGregor, a series called Halston, and he was a fashion designer.
Yeah.
And he spent like, I don't know, like he was in New York, spent like, I don't know, 30 grand a year on orchids. And there's a scene where the accountant's like, you spent what on orchids?
Oh yeah, that's what you shit us.
Yeah.
So yeah, sorry to Simon, our accountant, who had to just go through endless receipts of plants. No. And then the worst bit that wound him up was he was going through and was like, oh God, and I wanted to plant pots. Like, so yeah, that was that. We still to this day have a good laugh about that, but here it makes the space bright and vibrant, right?
Totally does.
And it's another full-time job trying to keep them alive.
Oh, that's good. You need more of them, Matthew, as we've said.
We need more jobs.
100%. So like, you know, both of yous have a pretty good head on your shoulders when it comes to business. Rachel, you obviously managed cafes for ages. Mm-hmm. You, Matthew, have done all these startup PhD accelerator things, whatever that is. Expectations versus reality of owning your business. What are some of the things that have surprised you?
Surprised us. The amount of time needed. I think, like they say, when you start your own thing, it's a lot of hard work. And you're like, yeah, I know it's going to be a lot of hard work, but it's a lot of hard work. I think like for us, we kind of kept it simple by, it was just us for the first, 10 months. So Matthew's working from home. I was at the cafe pretty much on my own most days, which was fine on days when it was quiet. There was days when it would get busy and you'd kind of be like, yeah, need an extra set of arms here, but it's fine. Yeah, the amount of time kind of, well, I suppose, did that come as a surprise? I don't know. I think we did a lot of it on our own. Like, a day off for us is we're closed on a Sunday, but then Sundays now become, you know, catch-up day for admin, food prep, wholesalers, you know, picking up the pieces that you maybe don't get a chance to do during the week. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm trying to think, is there anything?
I think we were fairly, apart from the pandemic, we were fairly well prepared. Like, we knew broadly what we're letting ourselves in for.
Yeah.
We had put in the years on, as you say, like Rachel figuring out how to operate a cafe.
Sure.
I kind of along the way kind of figured out the math side, the finance side, got that covered. So really the unknown was just week on week, like looking at the restrictions and going, another 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But it all just kind of, nothing was particularly a surprise because I think we were just open to, the world is a different place. There is no rule book anymore for operating in the hospitality industry right now.
Mm-hmm.
So who cares if we're breaking all the rules? Let's just go for it.
Yeah. What would you say? We talked about this briefly just before we hit the red button. What would you say your USP is in a city full of coffee shops? What do you guys offer that's different? Or maybe a more interesting way to ask that would be, what rules do you think that you have like subverted?
It's definitely about putting coffee front and center.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is complementary, yes, but at the end of the day, will always be, there's one Napoleon, it's an Irma Baths. It's all about the coffee and the good chats and everything else that is part of it. But if you're not into your coffee, if you don't want to hear about the country of origin, we will not tell you about the country of origin.
Like when I come in, it's like, can I have a decaf black?
Sure, we can do that. I think like for us, we kind of wanted to make the cafe fun and playful and welcoming. I mean, but then loads of cafes are doing that. I think it's staying up there. Belfast is a really high standard of very good cafes right now. And I think a lot of people, we're not almost into this a year, very closely into this a year. And like people are all of a sudden like associating our business with some of the fantastic cafes in Belfast. And to me, I'm like that in itself is success, you know. If other cafes that are so good and people are saying like, you know, oh, we come to you guys on this day and we go, you know, to all these other ones on another day. But I think, yeah, just trying, just providing a really good customer service, and, you know, just taking the time of the day just to check in on people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's been a hard year for everyone. Just a quick, you know, how are you?
Yeah.
How's your day? If people want to chat, great. People don't want to chat,
mm-hmm.
it's fine.
Mm-hmm. A more pointed way to ask it, and I know it's really hard to like answer this sort of stuff about your own thing, especially if you're from Northern Ireland, but like, why do you think people drive to Napoleon and will bypass, say, 5 cafes on the way?
There's a lot of chat and banter, I think, when you come in.
It's probably the chat and the banter. Yeah, it's nothing to do with the coffee at all.
Normally, I think if you're in the queue outside, you will always hear a lot of laughing, probably from inside, because there's always some sort of banter being thrown back and forth.
I feel like I never was as aware of being on the receiving side of customer service until I was there behind the till.
Mm.
And like, I've never had a hospitality job in my life. I've only ever been on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But coming from it now, where, as Rachel says, it's like, it's not just about the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, yes, coffee's front and center, but it's not just about the coffee. And like, building a connection with people in that 2 minutes that it takes to make a coffee,
mm-hmm.
has made me really aware of like, of the hospitality experiences that I've had, both the good and the like not so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just kind of reinforces for me how important it is to just make that connection.
Mm-hmm.
To, if it's as simple as like looking down the queue and getting someone's coffee on their regular on, or remembering that someone told you last time they were in that they were doing something,
mm-hmm.
and catching up on that. Like, I think all of those little moments just, like, you end up coming away, like, we've made friends out of
so many
customers.
Friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you approach every single person coming in as, like, I'd quite like to get to know you, I'd quite like to chat to you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what people sort of keep coming back for.
Yeah, customer service. And, you know, you have to look after people.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, a lot of people have become friends now, which is really lovely. You know, we sort of went through lockdown, which was a period of, you know, kind of everyone was locked away. And now, a year into this, coming out with all these friends now. And yeah, it's been a really, really fun experience up until now. I think as well, people see that we enjoy what we do and that we're passionate about what we do as well. You know, this wasn't something that we just decided to do on a whim. Like, it wasn't like we just woke up one day and we're like, oh, here, do you know what? It would be really good fun. Let's do a cafe. I mean, that would be good fun, right? But, you know, this has been sort of like 6-7 years of planning. Yes. And there's a lot of ideas still there and potentially other things coming up, which are very exciting, that some we can and can't talk about. But, yeah, it's been an interesting year so far, hasn't it?
I love your sandwiches.
Thanks.
Like, they're absolutely unbelievable.
Just wait until we expand the food menu.
I won't be able to handle it.
See, we are hoping to get kitchen space. Hopefully in the next couple of months there's something potentially in the pipeline. That's an exclusive.
World first exclusive.
Which may bolt on something else, a little side project that we might be taking on.
So tasty.
Which we'll keep under wraps for the moment because it's still very much early days. Something that could be quite an exciting idea. But it's still early days. So yeah, watch this space on that one.
What's it like being responsible for someone else's payroll?
Yeah, that's fun.
And what's it like bringing someone else on this beautiful ship that you've built?
Also very genuinely fun. See, like we said, like, it was just us for the first 10 months. Looking back now, I'm kind of like, how the hell did we do it? Like, I don't know how we done those days on our own.
Yeah.
So yeah, back in May, Aidan has joined us, who is a total legend.
I have to say this because it would feel like, for full disclosure, it'd be inappropriate for me not to. I am like Aiden's biggest fanboy in terms of like, okay. I have followed him in pretty much every cafe that he's worked in, to the point where he's probably close to giving me a restraining order. And I remember like seeing him go in for the job.
That's right.
And yeah. For the job interview, and a little part of me just went, oh, I hope Aiden gets it.
Yeah. I remember you came in the next day and you were like, well, and I'm like, this is confidential information right now. Aiden nailed his interview.
Awesome guy. Super experienced.
Yeah, great guy. Yeah. The perfect addition to the team.
Yeah.
We're having a lot of fun. The three of us at the moment.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
I think he's definitely brought on ideas, inspiration that we may not have actually picked up on as well.
So that's the thing. Like, once you bring someone else like onto your ship, it's no longer entirely your own ship.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's this guy like painting all these weird colours on the side. And you're like, wait, that's not what I have. I quite like that. Damn.
Yeah. But I think for us starting to build a team now was sort of the next small step in what was, you know, uncertainty in a pandemic. And we were getting to the point where, you know, things were starting to open back up again. Outdoor hospitality was coming back. I was probably getting to the point of burnout where it was just like, I need help.
Sure.
I don't think we could have found anyone else more perfect, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Great addition to the team. Really good crack to work with. Really into his tea. Next time you're in, ask him to talk about tea. Big tea drinker. I think every day he comes in with a new tea for us to try as well. So like coffee's definitely his thing, but tea's like, yeah.
It was
it's his love affair
with like bergamot today.
Yeah, it was an oolong grain bergamot oil from this fancy tea. I was impressed. But
what was really actually lovely about the whole hiring experience is, and it's kind of unique to our story, our first hire in the hospitality industry was 10 months into the business, and it was someone who came to our cafe like often as a customer. And I don't think, like, whenever we were first doing our business plans, like before all of this world changed, like, we had hires from day one,
sure,
but just buying ourselves that time was really just lovely. Like, it allowed us to show the world like what we're about, and just, you know, take it gradually. And it's I think that has been a recurring theme for us, like, throughout. The pandemic has been awful for the hospitality industry, but in a lot of ways, for our particular, like, very, very fortunate situation, a lot of ways it's went in our favor.
I think, like, for us, or well, for myself, like, whether I was managing a cafe or we were taking on our own staff, like, you know, your staff are your biggest asset in a business, and you want to build a good team, but you want to look after them. Do you know what I mean? Like, a hospital can have a really high staff turnover, and it's like, you know, you just have to look after your staff. And we want to create a place that, you know, is fun to work in, that you get up in the morning, you want to come to work because you know you're going to have a great time. But I think buying that time, I think in the pandemic, what I don't want to ever do is make like a false promise to someone. I don't want to say, yeah, sure, come work with us, we'll give you all these hours, and then
here's 60 hours a week.
We didn't know what was happening. And I'm like, I'm not going to promise something to someone and not fulfill that. I think that's something both of us would probably really strongly agree on. Like, we want to create a really great workspace, a really fun place to work. You know, promote people if they want to learn more about coffee, great. Like, with some really nice ideas in the pipeline for that. But, you know, I don't want to make false promises and say to someone, yeah, sure, come work with us, and we can't do that yet because we're so constrained by COVID.
Absolutely.
So it kind of came at the right time for us, and I think there's been a lot of fun things we've done already, and, you know, we've taken a lot of his feedback on board too, and, yeah, a really fantastic addition to the team so far, and I'm very excited to see where the future goes with that too.
He brings a really new music perspective as well. To bring it right back to,
class.
Like, we grew up together going to a lot of gigs and we like the same music.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I don't like the music that Aiden plays.
I
actually really love it. He's really got me into some very obscure stuff. But if it was just us two in the cafe, like, we just play all of the indie classics.
Yeah.
Maybe occasionally a little bit of Razorlight.
I don't think we've played Razorlight once in the cafe.
That's it. I'm coming in. I'm
I play it in this my sounds head.
Like a really big.
He sees paragraph versions of the lyrics come up.
Brilliant. But yeah, no, great addition to the team.
It's very easy for me to remember your birthday because it's literally just a few days away from our daughter. So our daughter just turned one, literally just turned one.
And so it's exciting.
You guys have just turned one as well, Napoleon.
You're about to turn one.
So in this year, in your first year, what would you say has been the greatest challenge? Oh. And you can take this personal, you can take it professional.
The whole pandemic, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anything
aside from the global pandemic? I know that's like asking you to ignore the elephant in the room, in the universe.
I think I come back to this idea of time again and just you realise just how much work it is. Like, there's so much we do outside of, you know, the half eight to half three that we're open. There's a lot of work goes on behind the scenes. You know, there's been a lot of late nights and that just seems to go on repeat. And I think it's exciting and I think the adrenaline of it keeps you going, but you do realise that there is times that does start to catch up with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the challenges is just, it's finding that balance to be able to switch off.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you can ever really do when you run a business, but you know, there's always something in the back of your mind that needs done or thing to check in on. But I think finding that balance, I suppose in a way, a lot of things have all been on lockdown where we've kind of weirdly had this time where we haven't been able to go out with friends. We haven't been able to go and spend time with family where our life was just home, cafe, home, cafe. Whereas now I think the challenge is becoming, trying to take a step back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the challenge going forward.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you distill, like, all of the personality that we have put into the business? Like, how do you retain that whenever we're not there 6 days a week, every opening hour? And I think that's really exciting. And, you know, step one was like killer first hire, which we've done.
100%.
But just maintaining that.
Yeah.
And we sort of, I really, really look forward to the day. We've kind of both individually had tastes of it, but I really look forward to the day where we're both off and the cafe's open. And
we're sitting outside.
We'll hopefully be off because we're going to do something, you know.
Yeah.
In fact, well, we're about to experience it because we're hoping to go to a friend's wedding. I just look forward to that day that we can have a day off together. We go around the cafe and we experience it from that side together.
Maybe we could even bring our imaginary dog that day. Like, there is times whenever you kind of step on the other side of the counter and you sort of look at what you've created and you go, do you know what? I love this wee spot. Mm-hmm. So this wee spot's fun.
Kind of on that note then, like, what has been the most successful moment?
I have a funny one.
That's okay. We're so, here for that.
Well, you'll it's a, yeah, in terms of success, I just remember, like, there's a phrase where, like, you know, when you go and buy from a small independent business, the business owner does a little dance inside. That is 100% true, right? So if you come to our cafe, like, already we're in awe that you're coming and you want to buy our coffee. Like, thank you. The bit for me that always blows my mind is when people buy tote bags. And I'm like, this is so, I am a big tote bag fan. I have probably way too many coffee tote bags. And when we were doing the business plan and trying to actually financially work out what we needed to get to day one, I was like, tote bags. And Matthew was like, no, we need coffee cups.
That's a non-essential.
Right? I'm like, yeah, but then we can get tote bags, right? So there was one, we both collectively said this. We were like, I can't wait for the day whenever, you know, things are opening up and we started feeling a bit more comfortable going out and about places, you know, that everything's settling down. And, you know, we walk through town or wherever it might be and we see someone with a Napoleon tote bag and we don't know who they are.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to blow my mind. And that happened a couple of weeks ago. We were walking past City Hall and there was a girl at the bus stop. I don't know if she recognized us, but both of us were just kind of like in awe at this. And I was just like, yeah, that,
yeah, that,
that for me, I was like, that's amazing that she loves our cafe and she's using it. Like, you know, this is her bag. That's really cool. Mm. But I think success also comes down to the people that are there. I mean, we wouldn't, the doors would not still be open during what was a really challenging time to open a business without customers.
Mm.
Like, first and foremost, customers. Like, we've built up such a lovely team of regulars that come in every day now. And honestly, it's hands down thanks to them that we're still here today. It has to be. And, you know, obviously we have put in a lot of hard work, and it's seeing people come back day after day, you know, for the chats, for the good coffee. And I think, you know, that to me is success.
Awesome. I'm going to land the plane here.
Yeah.
If you could go back to 1 year ago today.
Yeah.
And you had a couple of minutes of Rachel and Matthew's time. What would you say to them?
That's a really good question. So by this point, we'd have had the keys.
We'd have had the keys and we'd have been,
yeah,
like, what day is it today? This is Thursday.
It's the 29th.
It was a week, like, before we were
basically going. A week away from opening the doors.
I think for me, I'm such a perfectionist when it comes to things. I think, like, looking back.
Yeah, you are.
Like, yeah, every tiny detail needs to be perfect. And I think, you know, there was a lot of work to be done to get it open. And I think I probably would have told myself, stop stressing, girl. Like, it doesn't need to be perfect.
Mm.
You know, people right now are just happy to go to the house to go for a
coffee. Yeah. Yeah. You're like, mate, that guy is actually chuffed to get a coffee, yeah, before you even open.
People don't care if those black cards are laminated.
Yeah. It's like actually a status symbol. It's like, I was there whenever the coffee cups were still in the cardboard box.
So I think I look back and be like, it doesn't need to be totally perfect from day one. And also, enjoy it. Like, you're about to embark on what has probably been the biggest project we've taken on in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we haven't enjoyed it. We have.
Like, yeah, I've enjoyed
it. To this day, day in, day out, yeah, it has been so, so much fun. And I wouldn't have changed a thing. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I would also tell a year ago Rachel not to stress.
Thanks. You'd have probably told, like, 10-year-old Rachel. 10 years ago, Rachel.
Don't stop. Whenever you open the cafe in the pandemic, Rachel,
yeah,
like, don't stress. It'll be
stop worrying, it'll be okay, about what other people will think. It'll be fine.
It's like, go back to Rachel's school. Stop laminating everything.
maybe I should tell myself now, for 40-year-old me. Stop worrying.
What would you say to yourself, Matt?
I don't know if I need to give myself advice for a year ago,
yeah,
in a way. Like, I've enjoyed pretty much every minute of it, and it has been, yeah, hard work, but I've enjoyed the hard work.
Yeah.
It's been like a massive learning curve for me as well, which I maybe hadn't anticipated just so much. Like, in the original business plan, there was no bit where I've got the full-time job and I work in the cafe.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah,
the original,
yeah, yeah,
business plan was I keep my full-time job,
yeah,
full stop.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
There are Rachel and staff in the cafe, yeah, that, yeah, run, yeah, the,
yeah,
cafe,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, the three staff you hire when you open,
yeah, yeah, from day one.
No, no, it legit was that, yeah,
yeah. Like, The plan was never that I was to, like, you know, pull Saturday shifts,
mm-hmm,
like, come over and help. And actually, that's been one of the most enjoyable, wow, parts. Yeah. Like, I had never used an espresso. I was an accomplished home brewer. Accomplished. But I'd never used an espresso machine before.
Mm.
And I had an appreciation for specialty coffee, but I didn't really know. Like, I couldn't steam milk.
Yeah.
It has been a year of taking photos of my latte art progressing.
There's a folder on his phone.
There is a folder on my phone, yeah, just from blob, just like,
mate, you need to make blob. A little like a flip book, what do you call them? Like a stop motion?
So I do a virtual, yeah. Well, not of the latte art, but I do something called 1 second every day.
Yeah.
And I had done it a few years ago. And then you kind of fall out of the way of it.
But I was like, I was very firm
that, like, this is a period in my life that I want to remember, like, every day.
Yeah.
So it's just an app on your phone that you take a, like, 1 second video.
Yeah.
That reminds you of something that happened in that day.
So good.
And I've done it from the day we got the keys.
Epic.
Every day.
And I pretty much every day. I've missed a few, but...
We're only human.
Yeah. So I tell year ago Matthew, like, keep up with the 1 second, because you'll look back on that in years to come and you will relive, like, enjoying every second of it.
Wow. That is so beautiful. I'm going to sneak in a last wee one, and this is nothing to do with anything we've talked about. So this is big picture. So if your brain's an iPad, like, just zoom out, okay? What's the kindest thing that someone's ever done for you?
Oh.
Simon sold this written branch.
Yeah. Yeah, I think to let us take that on as our own project was something we're always going to be forever thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's an opportunity that you don't get every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, you know, other people might have been interested and maybe could have made a success of it, but I think he probably saw the drive and determination in us to try and do our own thing eventually. So I think, like, yeah, being given that opportunity was very kind.
Do you know what it is as well, though? Like, I remember, like, you mentioned, like, when a small business owner, someone buys something off them, they do a little dance. Like, I remember doing a little dance when I found out you guys got the cafe.
Aww.
And, like, all of us here in Omabas, like, someone else could have came in, but, like, we are so glad it was you guys.
Oh, that's and, very
like,
kind.
We are so, so... proud to see like how far you have come in your journey, and also like we love like buying our coffee for you, and we love having our chats with you, and it's really, really special. And so a very big happy birthday.
Crazy, right?
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing some form of a candle somewhere.
Oh, there's gonna be party hats. Well it started off, there's obviously gonna be cake. And I want a big balloon with a one on it.
Yeah, 100%.
And then it was starting to go out of control. And I was like, we could do party hats. And I was thinking, this isn't going to go down well with the guys. And then the guys were like, we could do party hats. Party hats it is.
Unbelievable. Well, I look forward to seeing Aiden in a party hat specifically.
Sorry, Aiden.
And guys, thank you so much for coming back, Rachel. Thanks for coming in for the first time, Matthew. And thanks for this lovely windy chat we've had today. It's been good fun.
Thank you. Loved it.
Let us share our story.
And that's a wrap. Easy as pie.
Easy as pie.